today on Real Radio.
And that's what we're pleading to this world about, is will you come with us to know this salvation and the freedom that it causes in your life, to rest in what Jesus has done, to give up on what you're trying to do. He's done it all.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. It's a section in Paul's text that speaks of what many call the great exchange. In fact, as verse 21 reads, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, "Will You Come With Us?"
We come now down to not only the last two verses of this chapter, but the last verse just might become your favorite verse of the Bible. I'd like to look at these last two verses as almost the thrust and the culmination of the gospel hope. Because in this is a wonderfully joyous technical announcement to what God has done for us in this wonderful thing of salvation. Today's message is entitled, "Will You Come With Us?" Will you come with us? You see, this chapter has been based upon inviting others to come and be reconciled to God. That we learned in chapter 5, verse 17, that we offer the gospel, and this gospel is sent out to all the world to invite people to become new creations. You can be a new person. Who does not want to become a new person? Jesus gives you that opportunity. He gives you that power. And then he turns around to us who become new creations, and he says, "That's great. Now join me in this great cause. Join me in this great announcement to take the gospel to the ends of the earth." Why? He's not promoting church as we would think of an address or a building or what church do you attend. He's not promoting some sort of a hopeful, successful movement. He's not promoting some sort of religion. He is announcing life. Life-changing life that comes from God himself. Chapter 5, verse 20, look at it with me. "Now then," Paul says, "we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf." Listen to him. "Be reconciled to God." Verse 21, "For he," that is God, "made him," that is Christ, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Someone say amen. That is radical. You can't find that anywhere else in the universe, this statement. Absolutely amazing. The unthinkableness of God to introduce us to this thing. Who would have thought of this? Who could think this up? That God would come and say, "Okay, here's the deal. You're so lost, you may not realize it, but you're on your way to hell. You're doomed. But I don't want you to be doomed. I love you, but we got a problem. You were sold under sin. You're a human. Your mom and dad, Adam and Eve, sold you under sin. It's in your spiritual DNA. You're dead. But I'm your creator, and you've been created in my image, and I will not rest day or night until I have a way to rescue you from your destruction. I love you. The problem is this. You're tainted, and your sin renders you beyond hope. You can't better yourself. You can't fix it. Whatever you would offer to me, it's polluted. Because you would reach back from your life. You would try to find something. Whatever it is you present to me, it's polluted. What can we do? Of course, God knew that he would send his son in the likeness of man, and that he would come and he would die on the cross for us. Why would he do this? How would he do this? Why? Because he loves us. How he would do it? Because he was pure, holy, God incarnate. The gospel, God came down. Absolutely exciting. Exchange, I like to put it as the very essence of these verses that we're looking at. It may very well be the essence of the gospel, that God introduces to us the great exchange. And that's what we're pleading to this world about, is will you come with us to know this salvation and the freedom that it causes in your life to rest in what Jesus has done, to give up on what you're trying to do. He's done it all. And so there's a great exchange from death to life, from pain to pleasure, from hell to heaven, from darkness to light. And I want you to be thinking about that as we go through this study today. Have you made that decision to come after Christ? Because we as a church, our mission has and will be, continue to be, to invite people, will you come with us? In my mind, every time I say that, I've told you guys this before, but it just popped into my head again. As I told you, years ago, we were doing a missions outreach in London, England, at Calvary Chapel, Westminster there. And after one of the evening, or one of the day outreaches, the pastor there said, listen, do you guys want to go see Les Miserables? Have you ever seen that, Victor Hugo's Les Miserables? You ought to see it. And I said, no, we've not seen it. The whole team went to this old theater in London, and in that location, by the way, it had been playing for some 35 years at the time, every day. And I'll make a very long story short at the end. They all come out on the stage and they take their bows, and Jean Valjean announces to the crowd, I got to tell you, I'm holding back tears right now. I'm biting my lip. It moved me so much, and I've never heard this since at a Les Miserables, you know, Les Miserables, the miserable. Why are they the miserable? Because the law was pursuing Jean Valjean, but he found grace through God. And they all come out, and they're holding up their arms, and they, oh my gosh, I could see it. They said, will you join us in the announcement of this play, of this musical? The desires of its author to announce that it's through Jesus Christ. This is not a Christian play. It's through Jesus Christ that grace is found. And the miserable can be set free. Oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. I'm in London downtown at a world famous theater, and it wasn't even a Christian setting, and they're announcing the gospel about the great exchange. Number one happens this way, and the invitation, as it was in that night in London, it is to us now. Will you come with us? Why? Because our God offers you the way out. Will you mark that down? Number one, what's the big deal with the gospel? What's the big deal with Paul's thrust in chapter 5? That it is God who offers you and I the way out. And he does it this way. Verse 20, the way out of existing. People are existing. That's all they're doing is existing. Without Jesus, you're just existing. And you may go from one sugar rush to the next, but you're just existing. Listen to this. Paul says now, then. Listen to this. It's a declaration of change and of urgency. Now then, based upon everything you've heard up to verse 19, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Circle the word ambassadors. A tremendous announcement. He's saying, I want you to come with me as a believer, and let's announce to the world. And listen, to be an ambassador is an interesting business. Did you know? What do you know about being an ambassador? It's pretty amazing. Did you know that as an ambassador, the full weight of your kingdom is behind you? You are in a country that you're living in, but it's not your own country. Did you know that? Listen, you live in a country. The ground that you live on is supposed to be sovereign U.S. territory or the nation that you are representing. And when you speak, listen, as an ambassador, when you speak with the full weight of your prime minister or your president. When you speak, being an ambassador is a big deal. You only appoint your top people to be your ambassador if you're a leader. The best. They're your voice. They are your policies. They represent the interest of your nation in a foreign land. Are you kind of starting to see this? I want you, Paul is saying, to be ambassadors. Jesus would say to us today, I want all of you to understand, you are already ambassadors if you're a Christian. Wherever you go, it's sovereign territory. Huh? Think of that. Wherever you go, the sole of your foot tread, you are representing my kingdom, he's saying. I have sent you, and you do not speak what you want to speak. You speak what I tell you to speak. And the full weight of the kingdom is behind you. And listen, the word ambassador, legatus, in the ancient world, when the emperor wanted to deploy a man who represented him in a hostile region. Listen, the emperor of Rome, first century age of which Paul is writing, if the kingdom was already subdued, you would send an ambassador by a different title. It was a different rank. Why? It's already subdued. That's not the word. Don't you love your Bible? It's not the word that's here. The word that's here is the other ambassador that is deployed to a hostile nation. That it's very precarious. Watch this. You are representing the kingdom, and the realm that you're in is against the kingdom you represent. It would be like us having an embassy in Afghanistan or in Yemen right now, okay? We're there, but they're against us. The ambassador issues the policies, but the nation that hosts him, they don't want him there. Does this sound familiar? The very word that Paul uses is this: Christian, you are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been deployed into a hostile kingdom. And the kingdom doesn't want you here. The kingdom doesn't want anything to do with you, this kingdom of the earth. This kingdom is hostile towards your interests. This kingdom wants you dead. This kingdom of this world wants you out. Guess what? They're going to have their request answered. Because whenever the kingdom of the ambassador comes to the point of understanding, negotiations have failed. We can't make it any further. What do? You resend, you bring back your ambassador, and then you go to war. Did you know that? When God resends his ambassadors, it's called harpazo. That's what the word means, to bring out. Harpazo in Greek is rapture in Latin. God is going to call his ambassadors home before the war breaks out. Until that time comes, you and I have a job, and we are to introduce people to the way out of a life that's just existing. I want you, church, I want to challenge you to start looking at people's hearts and lives and faces. And now look, hear me out. I mean this with all respect. It's okay to work out and exercise and take care of your body. Even Christians should do that. In fact, we have a better motive because we want to use our bodies to the glory of God. But the world is out there trying to stay in shape. I appreciate that. And, make up and dress up and all this stuff, and you want to look your best. And I understand all that, and I understand where it's coming from. This is my world. This is where I live, and I want to look my best, and I want to be my best. But you understand that? Go ahead and be your best. Look your best. All this stuff. But you understand you're just existing? Some people just exist to do that. They don't even realize it. Or they might just exist to achieve this thing. Or they might exist just to get that thing. They're just existing, no matter how you color it. You're just existing. And Paul is saying, no, you want to live? Become an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to live an exciting life? You represent my kingdom and a kingdom age down here on earth that doesn't want anything to do with you. But there'll be some who will hear you. Out of a crowd of 100, there'll be 3 that might listen. God is inviting you to do this. And so I would say to you this morning, will you come with us? Will you do that? Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. As he, Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Simon is Peter. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Is that awesome or what? What in the world was going on? We were existing. If you could insert a little moment there, Peter, Simon, Andrew, what are you guys doing? Well, you know what? Quite frankly, this guy's offering us a real life. We're pretty sick and tired of just existing, throwing nets around in the water. It puts food on the table, and we're supposed to do that. But is there more to life? Paul understands that as a Christian in a Christian ministry, it means purpose to us. And God would send his ambassadors with a message of his kingdom. And that's what our mission ministry is about as believers, as Christians. We are to announce that we are ambassadors inviting people to be reconciled to God. That's the plan. That's the mission. Church, did you hear me? You and I, and this is going to get more exciting as we get through this study. You and I are supposed to invite people to partake of the opportunity of having been reconciled to God. He has, listen, Jesus Christ, we hit it last week. Jesus Christ reconciled the world back to God. It's done. On the cross, he finished that work. And remember, what keeps a person from enjoying that work? Only that rejection of Christ. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all need to be reconciled to God. This is what we invite people. Come. Will you come with us? Come where? Why? Well, number one, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. But God turns around in Isaiah 1:18 and he says, "Come, now let us reason together." God says, "Bring your arguments. Let's fight it out." Says the Lord, "Though your sins are like scarlet, I shall make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God does this through Christ. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll almost be saved. You'll kind of be saved. You'll be saved. Let's not muddy up the waters. Do you believe the gospel? Then act upon it. Confess to the Lord that he died on the cross, rose again from the grave, that you believe the gospel message. And the Bible says, as you put your trust in Christ, you'll be saved. You can't, my friend, you can't better this. You can't beat this. 1 Corinthians 15:3, what is that gospel? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The Bible said he would, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. You see, Jack, if I go into a hostile world and announce that to people, if I'm an ambassador of his kingdom and I go into a kingdom that is in opposition, they're going to beat me up. They could. They're going to kill me. We heard this week 400 Christians were killed this week in Africa, just outside their worship service in Africa. By militants killing them, coming out of worship. If I'm going to be deployed into my culture, I could be despised. Yes, it's true. This is the twist. Is their souls important enough to you to risk it? The only way that that's possible is if you love them the way Jesus loves them. If you and I are now saying in our hearts, "I don't love them that much," then we need to ask God to change our hearts. Yeah. Number two, will you come with us? Number two, it's this, verse 20. Listen, he offers us the way out of death. As though God were pleading through us. This is a tremendous statement. It's God. This is hard for us to fathom. We have holy, awesome views of God, dignified views of God. And I want to kind of shatter that just a little bit. Yes, we lift him up. Yes, he's holy. Yes, he's pure. Yes, He's infinite God. But remember, the story of the prodigal son is also about the story of the prodigal father. The son ran away, but the prodigal father broke his culture and ran after the boy. Remember, when he saw the boy coming, it's the father that ran toward the boy that had sinned. That's extravagant. That's radical. That's breaking the rules. He was supposed to be dignified. Listen, God, thank God, he's not stuck in tradition that he had to render himself so dignified that he wouldn't come and rescue you and I in our situation. He came down. He came for you and I to set us free from death. And Paul says, listen to this, as though God were pleading through us. How does God reach the world? It's amazing. He pleads to the souls of others through you and I. Think of it. Oh, I wish I could just, you know, imagine if we could just take the time right now to just suit us, each of us up in armor, and you can hear the clanking of it. Okay, well, now what? We're going to go out there. What are we going to do? We're going to tell the world. Okay, let's go. And you go out in the armor of God, the word of God, faith, the sword of the Spirit, righteousness, salvation. Ephesians 6, you go out into a world that's hostile. Why? They don't even know they're dead. We didn't know we were dead. I thought I was living. I was going to a party a night I got saved. I had all my evil planned out, except my evil. I didn't call it evil. It was good. God had another plan. God interrupted my plans. I didn't even know I was dead. He offers us the way out of death. God wants to use every one of us to plead for the souls of the people that you and I know. And it's an amazing thing. The third thing under this point, will you come with us? Because he offers to us the way out is the way out of hell itself. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Messiah, Christ, Messiah, Savior, the one who delivers you from wrath, the one that delivers you from hell, Christ, Messiah, the one who delivers you out of hell. Now look, we, I'll probably bore you with this. Take your highlighter or your pen, circle the word we, circle the word then implore, and Christ's behalf, circle that. We, this is an amazing push, the United Church effort to reach the lost and the condemned. We would say it this way. Jesus said it this way. I send you out as sheep among wolves, right? I send you out to do what? We together, the Spirit of God working in your life. You have the word, the gospel in you. Now you go. In a united effort, we're going to reach the lost. God, listen, church. God wants to reach the lost, and he wants to use you and I. Amen. That is awesome. When you pray your prayers, do you say, Lord, I know you want to do something in the earth, and we need you to do something in the earth. So God, if you're going to do something, and I believe you are going to do something, will you use me? Church, did you hear me? Can you pray that prayer? Can you start praying that prayer? You say, I don't want to pray the prayer. Pray it. Just try it. God, if you're going to do something in the earth, do it with me. Ask him. Watch what happens. And imagine if just first service, you guys want to provoke second and third service to jealousy? Pray that prayer. Watch what happens. God is waiting to hear that. And then the word implore. He wants to implore us. Parakaleo is the word in the Greek. It means to come alongside someone or to call them, to invite them. It means to exhort them, to decide. He says, I implore you. Make this decision. Come. Come. Why? Do what? Because I want to send you out. I want you to go alongside with me and reach others. God wants to have you join him. It's amazing. It's awesome. And it's on Christ's behalf. This word means to be his, in his place of representation. This is a heavy deal. Christian, Jesus is asking you to be in his sandals in the world that he's sent you out into. The Old Testament announcement is what Esther said. Or actually, Mordecai said it. Didn't her uncle tell her this? That you've been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Excuse me, Uncle Mordecai? Esther, you've been born for this reason. Everything that's happened to this moment, Mordecai is telling her, is for you. God has put you in this position to represent the kingdom of his people before the king. Now go in there. And she, remember, she's kind of hesitant. I don't know. And he said, look, if you don't go in there, God will raise up someone else to do it. Go. And she went and changed the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called, Will You Come With Us? It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Will you come with us? Part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as 2015 begins to wind down, we want to invite you to take part in a very special, worthwhile activity for 2016. Get your hands on the one-year Bible and let's read it together. At the outset of every new year, we at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the one-year Bible, and we encourage Real Radio listeners to do just the same. For what it's worth, the one-year Bible might make a great Christmas gift. The one-year Bible is available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us and order it over the phone if you'd like. Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.